This is the listening test for levels from 3 to 5 of the Vietnam 6 level language proficiency test. There are 3 parts to the test. You will hear each part once. For each part of the test, there will be time for you to look through the questions and time for you to check your answers. Write your answers on the question paper. You will have 5 minutes at the end of the test to transfer your answers onto the answer sheet. The recording will now be start. Please ask any question now, because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part 1. There are 8 questions in this part. For each question there are 4 options and a short recording. For each question, choose the correct answer A, B, C or D. You now have 45 seconds to look through the questions and the options in each question. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Look at question 1. One. What time is it?
Have you got the right time? I think my watch is wrong.
It's 2:30.
Ah, my watch says 20 past.
Well, it's 10 minutes slow then. Two. What's Michelle going to read?
Can I read your newspaper, Michelle?
Didn't you bring a book with you?
Yes, but it's not very interesting.
Oh, here you are. I'll read this letter from John.
Three. How much did the tickets cost?
Oh, hi. Did you have a good time at the theatre last night?
Well, the play was excellent, but the tickets cost $90 each.
That's not too bad if the play was good.
No, perhaps you're right.
Four.
What is the man going to buy?
Is everything ready for the holiday?
I'm just going shopping. I must get those pills I take when I feel travel sick. Do we need anything else at the chemist's? We forgot the toothpaste last time.
I've got that. I haven't got any sunglasses, but I can borrow yours, can't I? And I'll get something to read at the airport.
Right.
Five. Which dress is Kate talking about?
Oh, Mum, this dress is still dirty.
It can't be, Kate. I've only just washed it.
Well, it is. The mark on the collar has gone, but there's still a small one here. Look, it's at the front, just below the button. It's where I spilt some Coke last week.
Six. When will Jane meet them?
Hi, it's Pete here. Jane left a message to say she can't meet us at 8 o'clock as planned because her bus doesn't get in till 8:15 and it'll take her 30 minutes to get from the centre of town. I told her the table's actually booked for 8:45, so that would be fine, and we'll see her then.
Seven. Which morning activity is for beginners?
At 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, there will be swimming lessons at both intermediate and beginner level. Then there will be volleyball practice at 11:30 for all those of you who are already in one of the teams. Also in the morning, for those of you who already know how to sail, there's a chance to do some practice on your own. There will be lessons in both sailing and windsurfing for beginners after lunch.
8. Which painting does the woman decide to buy?
They're all nice, but you see a lot of flowers everywhere these days, don't you? So that wouldn't be my choice. The same goes for animals, actually. Although I do quite like the one of the horses. So it looks like it'll have to be the one with the boats. It will be a change from that bowl of fruit I've had on the wall all these years, anyway.
That is the end of part one. Now turn to part two. You will hear three different conversations. In each conversation, there are four questions. For each question, choose the correct answer A, B, C, or D. You will hear the conversations only once. Now open your question paper and look at the conversation 1. You now have 25 seconds to look through the questions and the options in each question. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Bye, Mum. See you later.
How are you getting to college? It's already 8:55. You've missed the bus. Are you going to walk?
No. I'm borrowing your car, remember?
Oh, Matthew. I need it today. If you want to borrow the car, you need to ask me several days before. Sorry. You're going to have to walk. It just isn't convenient today.
But I did ask you. We talked about it last week, don't you remember? I've promised to help Alan move all his books and things after my lecture today. He's moving to a new flat and his car's broken down. I've got to help him move his things. He can't stay in the old flat after today. I promised him.
All right, all right. Of course you must keep your promise. I remember now, you did tell me, but I thought you said next Wednesday. You said the 9th, and that's next week when I'm in Birmingham for a meeting, so I shan't need the car.
I didn't ask for it next Wednesday. I've got an exam next Wednesday. I can't help Alan when I'm doing an exam, can I?
No, I suppose not. Well, I expect you're right. I didn't write it down, so it's my fault. Next time, we must both write it down and make sure we write down the same date.
Okay. So, can I have it today? I need to go or I'll miss my lecture.
Well, what am I supposed to do? I need to be at work in half an hour.
Well, I'll give you a lift there on my way to college. How about that?
I suppose I haven't got much choice. Come on, then.
Now open your questions paper and look at conversation 2. You now have 25 seconds to look through the questions and the options in each question. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Okay, now we come to our regular spot on extreme sports. And this week, our fearless reporter, Tom Walker, has been trying out something called indoor skydiving. And he's with me now. Tom, what's this all about?
Well, it's the same as skydiving. Jumping from an aeroplane and free-falling through the air without opening your parachute for some time. Except that you do it in an indoor wind tunnel. And there's no plane and no parachute. And so I was told, no danger. So it gives you a taste of doing an extreme sport, but it isn't quite so extreme.
Right. Now, where did you do it?
I did it in a vertical wind tunnel at an adventure sports centre called Runway.
What exactly is a vertical wind tunnel?
Well, it's a tunnel that gets filled with air. The air is provided by four enormous industrial fans, of a kind that usually provide air for underground systems. These fans produce a column of air that rushes through the tunnel from below at more than 160 kilometres per hour. When you're in the tunnel, you float on this air. The machine has been described as being like an enormous hairdryer. It allows you to fly as if you had fallen from a plane, but you are only 2 meters off the ground.
And it's completely safe, is it?
Yes. There are bars across the top of the tunnel to stop you flying off, up and out of the tunnel. The tunnel is 4 meters wide and has glass walls. The only small problem you might have is that you keep bashing into these walls. But you're not really going to hurt yourself a lot by doing this. The only injuries you are likely to get are sore elbows and knees. In fact, it's so safe that the centre is open to anyone over the age of 4. In America, where the idea was invented by the military in 1994, pensioners in their 80s regularly have a go.
Now open your questions paper and look at conversation 3. You now have 25 seconds to look through the questions and the options in each question. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Hi, Yun. As you know, I've asked you here today to discuss the future of our self-access centre. We have to decide what we want to do about this very important resource for our English language students. So, can you tell me what the students think about this?
Well, from the students' point of view, we would like to keep it. The majority of students say that they enjoy using it because it provides a variation on the classroom routine, and they see it as a pretty major component of their course. But we would like to see some improvements to the equipment, particularly the computers. There aren't enough for one each at the moment, and we always have to share.
Well, yes, the teachers agree that it is a very valuable resource, but one thing we have noticed is that a lot of the students are using it to check their personal emails. We don't want to stop you students using it, but we think the computers should be used as a learning resource, not for emails. Mm. Some of us also think that we could benefit a lot more by relocating the self-access centre to the main university library building. How do you think the students would feel about that, Yun?
Well, the library is big enough to incorporate the self-access centre, but it wouldn't be like a class activity anymore. Our main worry would be not being able to go to a teacher for advice. I'm sure there would be plenty of things to do, but we really need teachers to help us choose the best activities.
Well, there would still be a teacher present, and he or she would guide the activities of the students. We wouldn't just leave them to get on with it.
Yes, but I think the students would be much happier keeping the existing setup. They really like going to the self-access centre with their teacher and staying together as a group to do activities. If we could just improve the resources and facilities, I think it would be fine.
That is the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3. You will hear 3 different talks or lectures. In each talk or lecture, there are 5 questions. For each question, choose the correct answer A, B, C or D. You will hear the talks or lectures only once. Now open your questions paper and look at talk or lecture 1. You now have 35 seconds to look through the questions and the options in each question. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Dolls have always fascinated me, and that's why, 5 years ago, I was delighted to be offered the job of running a doll museum. Dolls have existed for thousands of years, and the earliest dolls we know about were found in graves in ancient Egypt. I only wish we could get one or two for our museum, but we haven't unfortunately got anything as old as that in the museum. All the same, we have got examples from Europe from the 12th century, but my favourite early dolls are actually from the 17th century. They interest me not just because they are early, or fairly early, but also because of the clothes they're wearing. They have their original clothes, and from them we know what the owners wore, since dolls in those days were always dressed like their owners. They were made of the only material readily available for things like this at the time, solid wood, and they were painted in great detail. In fact, on the best examples, like the ones in the museum, the detail includes the 17th century makeup. Dolls like these were very expensive then, and only the very rich could afford them. These days, they're popular with collectors, and if you want one today, you have to pay anything up to £10,000 for a doll in perfect condition from this time. By the way, what makes them so valuable is that, as far as a collector is concerned, a doll is only worth collecting if it is in perfect condition, and that means having the original clothes. Doll collecting has become very fashionable since the museum opened, with people interested in dolls from every period, including later dolls. There's great interest in 19th century examples, when dolls were no longer made of wood, but began to have soft bodies and real hair. They were very delicate, and few have survived, meaning such a doll would be worth about £2,000, perhaps a bit more. Later, in the 19th century, you could often take off the doll's hair. If you can, you can often see the maker's name underneath, and of course, the right one increases a doll's value. There was a really big change in dolls at the beginning of the 20th century. In the museum, we have one of the earliest examples, from about 1909, of a doll that's a model of a baby. Previously, all dolls, the earlier ones, were little adults.
Now open your question paper and look at Talker Lecture 2. You now have 35 seconds to look through the questions and the options in each question. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Hello, I'm Stephen Mills. I will travel with you on the Tiger Tour to India, but I'm not your tour guide. I work as an artist, and I'm going to take some photographs of tigers so that I can use them when I paint some pictures later. An expert guide will join the group when we arrive in India, but I'm leading the group until then. We leave London on the 6th of November, arriving in India the following day. It's a good time of year to visit the wildlife park where the tigers live. The rainy season finishes in October, and later in the year, the park gets more crowded and the tigers become shy. We'll spend 10 days in the wildlife park. There are 20 other types of animal and 300 types of bird to see, as well as tigers. There are 18 of us altogether, and everything is organised for our comfort by the tour company. For example, although we're in the jungle, we won't have to sleep in tents. The hotels where we'll stay are all very comfortable. To be sure of seeing tigers, we'll stay in two different parts of the wildlife park. We'll spend 3 days in the north, where we'll travel around in an open truck, and the rest of the time in the south, where we'll travel around on elephants. That should be fun. On the way back to London, we have dinner and one night's bed and breakfast in the Indian capital, Delhi. There you can either go sightseeing or go shopping, whichever you prefer. But please note that lunch is not provided on our day of departure, as the plane leaves at 2 in the afternoon. Now, if there are any questions, I'd like you...
Now open your question paper and look at Talker Lecture 3. You now have 35 seconds to look through the questions and the options in each question. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
For the second in our series about locally run businesses, we meet Simon Winridge, co-founder of the hugely successful Winridge Forest Railway Park. Welcome, Simon. Now, perhaps you can begin by telling us a little bit about how it all started.
Well, during the 1970s, my wife Liz and I had just acquired 80 acres of sheep farming land, and we decided to settle down and have children. Pretty soon we had a daughter, Sarah, and a son, Duncan. The place was wonderful for the kids. They particularly loved trains and gradually built up an enormous network of miniature railway track. I began to develop larger scale models of locomotives, but we didn't think anything more of it until I went on a trip to a theme park near Birmingham and decided we could do a much better job. So we set up a small one ourselves, based on the miniature railway, and we opened to the public for just a month that year, 1984, in July, our driest month, because our children said they didn't want our guests to have a miserable wet visit. I dealt with park business and Liz carried on with the farm work. It soon became clear that we were on to a winner. We began to extend the railway track and lay it among more interesting landscape by planting trees, which in turn attracted more wildlife, and by making cuttings through the rock. Nowadays, we're open all year round, and we're pleased to say that Winridge is one of the most popular visitor attractions in the area, with 50,000 visitors a year. 1.5 million people have been through our doors since we opened.
That is the end of part 3. Now you have 5 minutes to check your answers and transfer your answers onto the answer sheet.